missing this.
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
Oh, brilliant. Squeezed out the Yorker. Placed it perfectly. Out into the leg side. And it is a night to remember for Ireland cricket. A night to go along with Bangalore in 2011. 2020 is Southampton. And the heroes are Stirling and Balburnie.
Unbelievable. Absolutely fantastic evening here.
Cricket, and within the last hour, Ireland have completed a shock 7-wicket win over world champions England in the third one-day international at Southampton. Paul Stirling and captain Andrew Balburnie both scored hundreds as the tourists chased a target of 329.
There you are, that was BBC News last night. And delighted to say we have the Irish captain Andrew Balburnie on the line. Good evening.
Hi Joe, how are you?
Very well. Oh, cheer up, come on.
Very well, very well.
You, I suspect, had a big night then.
We did, yeah, I won't lie. You know, it's not... we were just very happy to be playing cricket, I suppose, at the start of the summer. You know, I came in to see you when we got back from the Caribbean and we had a full summer of cricket to look forward to. And, you know, we didn't get that. Fortunately, we have these three ODIs. We had these three ODIs against the number one team in the world, so... yeah, look, after last night, we certainly enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine. Are you back home now? Are you in quarantine?
Yeah, we are. We're the guys based in the Republic are doing the 2 weeks, which is obviously a bit frustrating, but kind of have to abide with the rules on that.
Okay, you weren't tempted to go on the lash in Belfast for 2 weeks, no?
No. I was mentioned, but no, I don't think so. I suppose it's kind of frustrating in the sense that we were in a place for 2 weeks in a biosecure bubble and we had four or five COVID tests, but them's the rules.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this was a three-match series, obviously. What was your feeling after the two defeats going into this final match? What had you made of the previous two encounters? Was there much changed? Was there a sense of, well, shot to nothing, we can be a bit more aggressive and freewheel this? Had you seen something that you could tweak? Where were you going into the match last night?
Yeah, I suppose the big area we had underperformed was with the bat, and we pride ourselves on being a good batting team. And in the first two games, for whatever reason, whether it was rustiness, not having much time in the middle, if any, this summer, and we just didn't get the starts that we needed to, batting first in both games. And against a team like England, if you're not getting sort of 300 plus, you're going to struggle to stay in the game. So, all three games were important in the sense that they had points carrying into the World Cup qualification. So that's why the ICC have brought them in, so there's no dead rubber. So we knew that, you know, we still had a lot to play for, even though the series had gone. So the guys' attitudes was just brilliant throughout. It's a young enough group, guys who are maybe inexperienced at that level, but the attitude that they showed towards that sort of back end, because it's a tough environment, you know, you're in the hotel for 3 or 4 weeks, you can't leave the complex and you're on top of each other. So to come out and put in a performance like that before we headed home was just something that, you know, I'm very proud to have been part of.
Yeah, and rightly so. And to be captain as well. I mean, when you were in November, you'd been made captain relatively freshly around then, I remember. I hadn't even thought about the fact that you're in the hotel and can't really do much and can't leave and cooped up for 3 weeks. That is a challenge, not least when you're losing the initial two. I mean, it's very understandable and easy if people get a bit tetchy with each other and people get a bit fed up and I just want to get home. So it's even more to your credit, I think, that you came through and won last night.
Yeah, it's a unique situation. I mean, the hotel, I don't know if you saw on the television, it's literally, you know, my balcony was looking out into the pitch, so there was no hiding from it. So for two games where we hadn't turned up, you know, you'd wake up in the morning, open the curtains, you're like, ah, oh, there's the pitch that we just had an absolute nightmare on.
Right.
And you had the English lads on the third level, we were on the second, and the media were on the first. So, you know, usually if you're on tour, you can kind of get out and about and go to restaurants and maybe a couple of bars. And but here, you know, everyone was in on it, cooped up together. But it was very well run. I mean, the ECB put on a tremendous show and ultimately a safe show, which was the most important thing. So, look, there was a golf course that we were allowed access that was part of the hotel, which kept us busy.
Okay. I didn't realize you were that close to the pitch, actually, and you were cooped up in that way. That is a lot of time staring at the wicket and scratching your head. So, look, you went very well. You hit a century, 113, and Paul Sterling obviously was fantastic as well. Did you just feel good? Was your eye in? Talk to us about it. What was your own personal approach to the 113?
I suppose I always go in with the same approach. Sometimes it doesn't come off, sometimes it does. It's to try to be positive, try to score. It's very easy batting with Paul. He's such a destructive batsman that I can kind of play second fiddle and go under the radar a bit and just play my game. And he can go all guns blazing. So we dovetail quite well. We've had a good couple of years together. You know, he opens batting and I bat three, so we've a very good understanding. We've played cricket with each other since we were about 8 or 9, and we went over to London together to play for Middlesex. So it was just important that, you know, both of us hadn't scored any runs in the first two games, so we knew that we had to score runs in the third game, especially when you're chasing 330 if we were going to be in the game. So for him to get 140 was, you know, one of the best one day knocks I've seen in an Irish shirt. So to be there and be part of it with him was certainly something special for both of us.
Well, you more than played your part. I didn't realise you went back that far, so that must be a lovely thing to have that level of comfort and understanding, and probably a bit of eye contact as you judge the to-ing and fro-ing of what they're throwing at you.
Yeah, and we know each other's games well. You know, if I'm struggling and, you know, maybe I'm faced a couple of balls and I, you know, haven't played as well as I might have, he can come down and kind of reassure me and tell me to stick to my strengths, and I can do that with him. So we're very honest with each other, and I think that's probably one of the most important things. If we're maybe looking to be too aggressive, we'll tell each other if we need to tone it down a bit. So he's obviously my vice captain and someone who I'd be in contact with a lot about the game and on the pitch and the field.
So look, sport is funny at the best of times. See, as you say, it's a century yesterday, and in the previous two matches, it's not going for you. How do you explain that?
Yeah, it's, you know, cricket's a funny game. I mean, you could be going into games feeling like $1 million, but it takes one good ball or one good bit of fielding, and then you're gone. I didn't feel particularly bad after the first two games, but all of a sudden you've played two games and you haven't scored runs, and you're almost second guessing yourself and second guessing your preparation and stuff like that, and you're looking to the coach for reassurance, and then you go out and you just, from ball one, things start clicking. You start hitting the middle of the bat, you start picking the gaps where you weren't a couple of days ago. And it's funny, it is a funny game. It's literally 2 days in between games, and, you know, I went from having a really scratchy innings and not doing well to, you know, scoring 100 and beating the world champion. So you know, it was definitely a sweet feeling.
Is it tougher, Andrew, to be captain when you're not personally delivering the way you want to?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when I set out as captain, I wanted to make sure that I was still leading from the front. First and foremost, I'm a batter. That's my currency. I need to score runs to stay in the team. So, you know, it can play in your mind, and there's no doubt when you don't do well, you're like, oh, you know, I've let the team down a bit. But it's such a kind of important role in cricket. You've got a lot to think about, particularly when you're in the field. So, you know, getting runs is just kind of nice to have in the bank if you like, and you can then just focus on the captaincy as such. Yes, it was my first 100 as captain, so that certainly means a lot to me.
Yes, very sweet. And as you said, there are no dead rubber games now, so this will go towards World Cup qualification for 2023. It's significant in that respect too, and it's just another landmark for Irish cricket. You know, you go back to kind of what 07 territory, and there have been a few, and I'm sure you guys all feel, well, not enough, but they're important almost landmarks as Ireland tries to attain a certain status, not just officially but in the eyes of the cricket world as well. And that's another nice notch on the belt now.
Yeah, it is. And look, I grew up watching those teams in 07 and 11 and wanting to emulate them, but at the same time, you know, we as a group don't want it to just be a flash in the pan result. We want to beat these teams regularly, and we are getting the chance to play them more now because it's all part of this World Cup qualifying when all games are worth 10 points. So that's the message I kind of said to the guys after the games, like, enjoy it, but don't be happy with just winning one of these games. It's important that we kind of drill that mentality into the group, and particularly the young guys coming in. And we have a certain standard that we need to meet now, and we know we can do it if we turn up and play good cricket, that we can beat the best team in the world. So there's no reason why we can't do it on a more regular basis.
And how good were they? I mean, you would have seen them obviously win the World Cup. Did you get a sense of what you were dealing with across those three matches? I don't want to say the gulf, because it's not clearly, but the difference in class and quality.
Yeah, I mean, those players are exposed to a high level of cricket more consistently. They're playing in county cricket day in, day out. Obviously, this season's been a bit hampered with the COVID-19 crisis, but they're playing a more high standard of cricket on a day-to-day basis than we are. They're playing a lot more international cricket than we are. But I think if we get exposed to that level more often and more regularly, I think that we, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to win the World Cup, but we can certainly compete with those teams if we get that exposure on a more regular basis. You know, they were missing a few players that were up in Manchester in the test match that started today, but look, we had plans. We had good plans against them. We had a young bowling attack, an inexperienced bowling attack, but they were disciplined, and that's all we really asked from them. And when you're playing against teams like that, big teams like that, you just got to be as disciplined as possible in all fields.
Yeah. Was it straight on a plane last night at home, or what was the evening like?
Yeah, we flew out from Southampton at 11:15 this morning, or 12:30, sorry. We had a chartered flight. The England Cricket Board charter flight flew us over and then flew us back today. So, we had our own plane, and we were bussed to the plane. And then, so we had last night basically to enjoy it, because, you know, we don't know when we're going to play another international. There's nothing scheduled for the rest of the year unless things are moved around because of the summer. So it was just nice to enjoy that win, having kind of had 4 weeks of hard graft against a really good team. And it's important that you do enjoy that success.
No, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. God, I didn't realise it was completely bare now going forward for the foreseeable. That's a frustrating feeling, I suspect, off the back of a performance like that, where, God, you must feel like you've a bit of momentum and we can really build on that. And who knows when you get out again.
Sorry, my AirPods have just disconnected. So can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, perfect. It is frustrating. I mean, our next scheduled fixture is in January against India, which is obviously, you know, a long way away. And, as you know, we've seen in the last few months that a lot can happen in that time. So there might be scheduled fixtures that were meant to be in the summer that might be shifted to November, December. But it all kind of depends on what happens with what's going on in the world. And that's obviously more important than some sports games.
No, it's true. It's true. These are difficult, strange times for everyone. What's the plan for quarantine then? You've got a stack of books you're planning to get through. There's Netflix. I dare say, after the last couple of weeks, you've worked through a lot of that anyway.
Yeah, look, I haven't really put a plan in place. I'm going to kind of chill out for the next couple of days. There's talk that we may be able to train in our high performance centre as a group. That's still sort of unconfirmed yet, but because our Interpro series, you know, our provincial stuff starts pretty soon after we're actually due to be out of lockdown. So it's important that, particularly the bowlers who go through a lot with their body, that it's important that they are still doing relatively active stuff leading up to that. But yeah, look, I'll look to get through a few books and sort some home stuff out that I haven't been able to do in the last month.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, congratulations. It's brilliant. I mean, I got a real sense when you came to studio last year that you had big ambitions and you were very serious about doing well and continuing to do well and not just flash in the pan stuff. So a win in Southampton last night is a really big deal. Congrats. We might, I'm not sure when, but we might catch up and have another chat down the line, Andrew. But thanks a mil for the time being.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Joe. Cheers.
Well done again. Andrew Balburnie, Irish captain. Historic performance in Southampton last night. So congrats to all the team, and hopefully the quarantining goes okay as well. I should mention just before the ad break that in the Europa League matches this evening, just gone half-time, Inter are 1-0 up at home to Getafe. That's Lukaku with the goal in that game. Meanwhile, at Old Trafford, nil all between Manchester United and LASK.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.